Blog Talk Radio.
To be amongst the land of the living. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we thank you for tuning in, taking out your time this evening to be a part of this Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to inform you that the call-in number, if you would like to call in to join in on the Zoom, if you'd like to be on the Zoom, the call-in number or the code number, if you'd like to write this down, is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode would be capital P, S-A-L-M. There's no S-23, Psalm 23 with a capital P. If you'd like to join in on the Zoom so we can see your face, we can put a face with a name. Amen. Also, we'd like to inform you that after you hear this message this evening, you can go into the archives on your internet, and you will go into Blog Talk Radio. And once you go into Blog Talk Radio, you can type in We Can Begin Again. That's We Can Begin Again. Amen. And you can listen to this message again, share it with a friend. Amen. I'm sure that you're going to be blessed. We have none other than Bishop Charles Storrs from out of Princeton, West Virginia. He's been on here numerous times, and he has been a blessing to the body of Christ, a man that loves the Lord, studies the word, and is always available. And we thank God for joining us this evening. Amen. We're going to move forward. As we move forward, the mics will be closed. The mics will be closed unless Bishop Storrs asks for the mics to be open. If he wants them open, we will do that. We try to be obedient to the Spirit, making sure. Oftentimes, we listen to our messages and we have our we're unmuted and it interrupts the speaker. Amen. So we've begun to close the mics off and open them up when the bishop or even the speaker asked us to open them up, and we like to do that. Also, when you listen back to the message, you don't hear a lot of distractions. Amen. So that's why we do that. If there is a question, if you hit the number one, a question mark will come up, and we know that you have a question. Amen. So we're going to move forward this evening. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for all those that joined and even those that want to join this evening, Father. We pray that as we unveil, as the speaker unveils the message, Heavenly Father, that you would give our minds clarity, clear our minds, Heavenly Father, and let us or help us to gain or get understanding as we study your word this evening. So it would be a blessing in our walk, with our walk, as we move on our journey according to how you have purposed it. So we just ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. We are going to move over into none other than, as I said, Bishop Charles Storrs. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
hear you.
Hello,
can you hear me? Okay,
yes,
amen, amen. God bless you.
Those are on Zoom. Can you hear? Can you hear? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear. A thumbs up if you can hear on Zoom. Okay, we got a thumbs up, so we're good to go. Those who are on Zoom can hear.
Okay.
Those who are on the phones can hear as well. Amen. I'm going to move out of the way. May God bless you.
Bless you, bless you. Thank you again for the opportunity. We give all praise and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, to you, Dr. Clay, to Drs. Clay, Suzanne Clay, we thank you all for the opportunity, and to each one of you out tonight. It was just a blessing to be able to talk with you today. The pastor called me a couple of days ago, and just to give you some insight on what was going on with my son. He's in high school, started his first job, and he's been working. And so yesterday evening, last night, I picked him up from work and carried him to get his first paycheck. Wasn't anything other than just his first paycheck, first time that he had actually worked. And when he walked through the front of the lights of the car and he got his paycheck and they handed it to him, he just lit up with a smile and he got back. And it was a sense of accomplishment. And I looked at him at that moment and realized that the conversation that I had with my son, as far as being the only voice that he would hear and nurture him and mold him, is now he's an adult being a productive member in society, that now he was going to have a lot of pushback. There were going to be a lot of other voices that was going to be clamoring for his attention, and lots of other voices that he was going to probably respond to or look at or even try to dissect just by his experience. So now my voice, I had to reposition at that moment. I realized I had to reposition what I was doing and how I was rearing him, so to speak, to adjust myself and to now give him a voice of clarity and instruction. And then the pastor called me to speak upon wisdom, and it's like the Lord had just spoke to me as saying that this is not only just for him but for us, that wisdom. And wisdom is the book of Proverbs, and that third chapter, it teaches about applied knowledge. And we are a culture, I believe, a group of people in this Western culture that we kind of juxtapose or change, separate knowledge and ethics. We know a lot of stuff, but we don't practice what we know, or we think we know a lot, and we don't actually put them into practice. And so we actually become a society that's actually in love with results, but we're never really committed to the effort of that result, nor do we even really know how to obtain it that much. And so wisdom takes courage because it requires you to perform something. It takes courage because it goes counter to what the culture is. And the book of Proverbs we're in the third chapter of Proverbs, and I wanted to be able to talk today, but I really didn't want to just speak continuously, but I wanted to be able to open up and we can just communicate and commune back and forth, because I'm speaking as the contextual. God speaks to us in the context of the context that we're in at that moment. And so now I'm in the moment of bringing my son into a society that he's now being productive in, but not to be naive, because there's going to be other voices and other things he's going to hear. It's going to be other experiences that he's going to have to have. And wisdom is going to be what's needed. And it's not necessarily what you know, but actually what you do. And I find that it interesting, because in chapter 3, the very first verse in chapter 3 of Proverbs said, "My son, forget not my law." And his law, and the author Solomon was teaching and was talking about, this is a law. It actually has become a part of who I am. And so I'm telling you not what to do, but I'm telling you who you are. So it actually develops what we call the complex or mental and ethical traits that distinguish a person or group or nation, which is the definition of character. And we are in a society where we are struggling with character. We have an identity crisis, because we tend to move to deal with what's popular or what's trending more so than what's principled. And character is the integration of my thoughts and my words and my actions, and they all have to come together, because the integration is all of those things that become one. And the Bible said that God is one. And so my character is governed by my principles, and while the world is controlled by, as I said before, what's trending. And that's why you can have a lot of people that can tell you one thing, do something totally opposite, and then promise you something else, because they're governed by whatever is popular or trending at the moment. And so you have a society or a generation of people, whether it be younger people and even just people in general, that are struggling with the identity or the culture, because they're not actually understanding that it's a applied knowledge. It's something that we have to apply. And so I was looking at that, and I was thinking about that, and I was looking at the character of people and the character of the church. And we have these things that we I don't know if I can just possibly say this, is that we are molded to what everybody else is doing, and we're not conforming to, or we're conforming to what everyone else is doing, and we're really not understanding that wisdom requires us to put into practice principles and greater understanding and governed by God and moving in the position that God wants us to move. And it might not be popular all the time, but it's definitely going to be profitable, because God tells us that with wisdom, you're going to gain certain things. You're going to be able to do these. He tells you that you have length of days and long life. Now, I know that if people would say, well, you know, I've lived a principled life and, you know, my life is short, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a guarantee. This means that you're going to make your way less destructive for yourself when you live a principled or a disciplined type of life. And I think that those are the precepts and concepts that we deal with, the general rule that regulates our thought. And I thought about the Bible when it talked about David, which was the father of, and being a man after God's own heart. And I thought about my daughter a couple of years ago at a talent show, and she was at a talent show, and I told the story several times to the congregation, but in the talent show, she only had 2 minutes in which she was able to, she wanted to draw. She's very good at drawing. She's very good at doing artwork, and so she wanted to draw. So she had this picture in her mind, the concept or thought, what she intended to do in her mind, and she was going to put it on the paper, and she was doing it in front of the students, but she only had 2 minutes. So the music would play for 2 minutes, and she had to draw it. So she was drawing this part over here and drawing a wing over here. She was making an angel, and she was drawing this wing and this wing. In her mind, she already knew what she was going to actually draw, but everybody else in the school was watching her hand, the strokes of her hand, and created. And then when the 2 minutes was up, she actually had a picture. It wasn't that when she started drawing that she decided that I'm going to make an angel. She had already knew in her mind this is what she was going to be, but she was just bringing it forth on paper. And I think a lot of times it's the same way with the church, as my pastor's told us and told us before with the church, is that we're so busy looking at the hand of God and not being so concerned about the mind of Christ. Because if I have the mind of Christ, then wisdom now governs and operates, and I start operating in ways that might not be exactly like society looks at. I might not be popular, but I'm principled into an area where it takes courage, and I'm willing to control and discipline myself in order to gain something that's greater that God has for me. And so I wanted to just pause right there for a moment and just let us be able to communicate today. Pastor Clay, if you would, to break bread with us and see what are moments and areas in our life in which that our character, or we're always on a character assault, so to speak, but that we have to now make sure that we don't compromise our integrity in order to be popular to those who are around us. Who do we have around us that require us to always compromise more so than glean from the wisdom and the knowledge that we have? And I think that that's where we are as a society and people. And how can we deal with those individuals or those moments that we deal with in time? Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on it for us?
There's a question that's out there for you, those who are on Zoom, as well as those who are
okay.
On the phone, and you have those who are listening by internet. You can call in 347-237-4054 if you'd like to participate. But that is a question for those of you who are listening. Any 304s, we have 216s, we have 631s. We have 301s. We have a number of different numbers here. All of your mics are open. If you have a question at this particular time for the bishop, are there any questions? Your mic. Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, no one is responding. I have all your mics. All the mics are open. Leave them open for you, if that's okay.
I'm on.
Okay. Well, amen.
Your comment, there are questions, comments somewhere? We heard a voice? We are interactive.
Amen. I just got on, but I can hear you.
Amen.
Okay, well,
Bishop,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm moving out of the way, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I wanted to open it up, Pastor, just to hear, you know, because here's one of the things before I could go my pastor told me that, you know, there are different levels or capacities of hearing, and we develop on different levels. I mean, wisdom gives us basically exposure, because we're counter or it's cultural specific. Depending on what might be good for one culture might not be good for another culture. And so wisdom now shows us how to govern in the culture that we're in, and which is a counterculture, because this society or this culture is so inundated with what's happening right now. Like we said before, it's concerned with the results, but not really concerned with the effort. You know, we don't really want to put forth the effort. We don't really practice what we preach, so to speak. I mean, we know it, but we don't put it into part. And when he said, forsake not thy law, he said, but then he tells them, he says, bind it, grace and mercy, bind it. Look back over and see how it governed and how it operated, and then write them on the tables of thine heart. So then when situations come, wisdom will encourage, it will direct, it will instruct, it will inform, and it will sustain. And so I'm just, the question I was wondering is, we're at a time right now where it seems like there's a lot of knowledge, head knowledge, but not a lot of actually becoming doers of the word. And how do we move, from that in each sphere that each individual might be in at this time? What are some of the things that you're dealing with that we can adjust to, the climate that we can adjust to, if I could say it like that?
Mm-hmm. Mics are open for any responses.
I found a few matches for that. Do you need a response?
Well, let's all.
All right.
All right, any comments? He is asking here at this point in time that we are, if I'm getting correctly, we are hearers of the word but not doers, and what can we do to change the dynamics of that? Are there any suggestions out there how we become doers rather than just listening to the word of God, but also working for the Lord?
Well, first of all, this is Bishop Harris out of Chicago, Illinois. I think we got to get back to the old school, where the church used to be the base of the community. Nowadays, we have a church in the community, but we don't know the first thing about the community that the church is in. In order to be doers of the word, we got to get outside of the four walls of the safety of our church. And we've got to get out and spread the word. How are you going to keep spreading the word to the same people over and over and over again? You got to get out and you've got to spread it so that it can go and it can grow. And that's how we become doers. When we get outside of the walls of the church and we begin to speak of the gospel, we begin to show the gospel. How can we tell the girl on the corner that Jesus saves when we don't ever come outside the church? All she do is see us open the church and go in and then close it and leave. And we don't even speak. I think we have to get outside.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. Or to ride on that, it's difficult to tell someone wisdom or what not to do when you are actually engaged in that very activity yourself. It's hard to preach something that's not in a practical principle governing law that you're operating into. And I think there's too many that are telling people what to do, so they get disheartened by the fact that they don't really see that level of commitment. And so they don't fall in love with that. And so they gravitate to just what's happening. And, you know, he's telling us, you know, that these things, these are laws, these are what binds us, these are what keeps us, these are how to operate. And I just find it was interesting that he said, forget not my law, which would mean that there's a great possibility that there's a lot of influence in the world that would cause you to forget the principled way of living, that we fall away. In the last days, we fall away or fall back. I mean, does that make any sense? Or what do you think with that? I mean, I wanted to open this and communicate back and forth today, not just to speak it, but to just get some your thoughts on on where you are at this moment, because I'm pretty sure that we're all dealing with something that requires a level of wisdom different than what we've been used to, or we have maybe acclimated to a society that now wants us to compromise in order to just to get by. And who are we dealing with, or what are we willing to let go of in order to maintain our standards and our integrity of who we are?
Mm-hmm. So Bishop from Chicago has stated that that we need to get out of the church and do what the Bible says, getting out into the communities or going out into the world and showing people the love of Christ rather than only within the four walls. And Bishop from out of West Virginia, you're stating that people have forgotten, you know, the level of commitment or the level or the law that we're supposed to follow. You know, and when I add on to that, thinking in terms of what both of you have said, you know, I think we've gotten away from studying the Word of God. On that, if I need to just, you know, add on or add a caveat to that, you know, we've lost out on studying the Word of God. At one time years ago, we used to, when I say we as a people would study the Bible. We would read the Bible on a regular basis like it was a book, you know, because that was the foundation of our journey. And whenever we ran into any type of challenges or obstacles, you know, the Word was what gravitated gravitated us from what we have been reading and what we've studied and given us the foundation to be able to make it through. And my thing is, you know, even though we're in the church or even outside of the church, you know, knowing how to overcome obstacles, and once we believe that the Word of God is the truth, you know, it is the truth, and that is how we're supposed to live, and we begin to start to function according, you know, to what the Bible says, you know, then I believe that everything will begin to start to come together and people will begin to start to see, you know, those in the church as well that within the church a response to that. But I believe the foundation falls right on the Word of God, you know, studying the Word of God. Oftentimes we put our Bible away. We put it away. We don't read it on a regular basis. You know, and to me, when I think of it like that, and I'm not saying that in a negative sense, but what I'm saying is that when we put the Bible on the shelf, then we put God on the shelf also. Sure, we say we love God, we say we're following God, but I think it's the Word that we have to keep feeding ourselves, feeding our souls, feeding our spirits. And I think that that's where we have fallen short in terms of becoming hearers rather than doers. Anyone like to make a comment on that? Any comment? The mics are open. The mic is open on Zoom as well as on the phone.
Well, I like everything that is being said. God bless you, Bishop. Everything that you're saying, Dr. Clay and the other elder. And reading the Word of God, you know, what came to my mind as you all were speaking, we have to just read Jesus. Read him, study him, and that's in the Word, as to how he reached the people. He went where they were, like the woman at the well. Give me something to drink. Give me a drink. You know, we have to go where they are and then relate and not know speaking in tongues and this, that, and the other, but to, like you said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. So it's the love. And then God said he'd give us wisdom if we asked for it. Wisdom. I was on a prayer line a few weeks back, and I remember a sister was saying that her son and his friend, they love basketball. And it's not that he didn't go to church, her son and the other young man, but when she was talking about Bible study or something like that, they didn't want to basically hear that, you know, hear about, we know Jesus and we love Jesus and whatnot, but to get them more involved, she said something like, she says, do you know Elohim can go above the rim? And when she said that, she went right where they were. Do you know Elohim can go above the rim? And when she said that, that opened up the platform for them to have the dialogue back and forth, just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. That dialogue came when he said, give me a drink. And then everything else fell in line. But I agree, we do have to go out, and these are the last days. But if we would have the rhythm of Jesus, and I heard Pastor Maddox say that, the rhythm of Jesus, how he flows, we can reach a lot of people. Now, and it doesn't have to do with titles or anything. Everyone is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we be conscious of not only what we're saying, and I'm not saying take away from the word, because we're to study and show ourselves approved. Workmen, we know the scripture. So with that said, I agree with everything. We got to get out of the four walls and do like Jesus did. Go out and compel men and women to come to Christ. And God gave me this acronym a long time ago. This is the new LSD, the new drug. There's no side effect because it's called love, salvation, and deliverance. That's the new LSD. No side effects but love and deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm finished. Edna out.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Hope I didn't.
Mr. Hamad, York.
God bless you, sir.
Anyone else would like to add in a comment on this? I have a lot of numbers here. You're welcome just to speak out and share what. And for those of you, the 304s that just jumped on, that just came on, Bishop has asked a question, how do we become hearers, how we become doers rather than just hearers of the Word of God. Amen. Bishop from out of Chicago made a comment that we need to get out of the four walls, out of the church and out into the community and begin to spread the gospel. Do you have a comment in reference to that question? We're just dialoguing, man. We're just feeding on the Word of God.
And we definitely have to go suit it up. We got to be suited up, y'all. Suited up. Because there's a lot of folk out there that is raw. They're raw. And some of them are backslidden condition. And they know the Word, but they just won't live the Word. Amen. I'm finished.
Right, we had been talking that Shiloh for the beginning of the year, starting at the beginning of the year, about the spiritual warfare that we've been dealing with, and it's like God had led us to the whole armor of God and putting on the whole armor guard. So we took each week to dissect and go through each particular piece, and we have a society that are, I think, that's operating to some degree beltless. The Bible says put on, gird up the belt of truth. And we're looking for truth in everything other than the Word of God, I believe. And so I think that God, that God is creating a hunger called the prerequisite for unity is division. You have to be divided from something in order to unify towards or gravitate to something else. And I think that God is allowing these things to come up, which gets us to the fifth verse of Proverbs 3 when it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding, which will mean that we're at a time and a climate where that we're going to try to rationalize or justify the position or the condition that we're in. And the heart, they said, I've heard it say that the heart is the first thing that leaves, but it's the first thing that returns back and to the Lord. And so we're dealing with a time right now where the trust is going on. And so we don't really know who to trust and what to believe. And so I think that the church is in a ripe position to be able to show the world, to bring this authentic, real revival that's going to take place. I just really have a sense of the revival. So, but we have to be armored up because the enemy is going to attack those who are really believing. That's why he said, hey, not only do I want you to keep your precepts and your laws, but I want you to trust. And then we got to get into all of the other areas that were elusive to us in the church is the honor the Lord with thy substance and all of thy first fruits and the things of thy increase. And then he's going to make sure that things be well. So there's that makes us whole in different areas. We don't really like to deal with a lot of that.
You're saying it, sir. Amen.
Let me go ahead. I'm back away to speak on that.
So are you referring to when you say that in terms of speaking on that? Are you when you say in terms of real revival? Is that where you know? Is that what you're saying that you know that we need to get back to revival within the church, within the community? Is that what you are addressing at this time?
I think, yes, Pastor, I think so. Do you remember, now that you go there and able to see that, do you remember when Zechariah did not believe and the angel told him that you was going to have a son and you were going to name him John? And you know, the family and everybody said, well, you know, there's nobody in this family that's named this and named this and named that, whatever. And that he ate locusts and wild honey. It was just totally different. But for the Jewish people, the typical diet was for the priest at that time was like a roasted lamb and unleavened bread and bitter herbs and all this type of stuff. But yet he didn't eat any of that. He didn't have the same name and he did not eat the same foods. And so the church has to now have a desire for a new appetite and a new identity in order for an authentic revival to take place, because he's the one who started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I think that lots of times we're too busy trying to reshape or remake yesterday's church instead of identifying with the culture that we're in, walking the wisdom that God gives us, trust totally in him, lean not to our own understanding, let him direct our paths, but be comfortable with being John, even if John doesn't look like what everybody else looks like. I've got a set of principles of which I'm governed by, and I'm going to operate accordingly. And then God says, then shall you find favor with God and man, that God will make peace with me even when I'm in great close proximity with him. And so I think real revival is going to come place that we're going to have a different appetite and a different attitude in order to do this. And the locust and the wild honey makes reference in a sense to that it's going to be a long journey and we're going to have to be able to endure some moments, which gets us to the place where God says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not that I don't understand it. We're arguing over government. We're looking at presidential numbers falling and this person could have done this. If this person wasn't here, this would happen. And in all actuality, God is like, I'm still in control of all of this. And so I need you to operate with wisdom. And I think that that's where, if that makes any sense, where we are right now, that's a real hunger that God is creating for a spiritual growth in this atmosphere at this time.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense, sir. Makes a lot of sense.
Anyone like to comment? Anyone online or on Zoom would like to make a comment in reference to add on to that or any comments that you gleaned from what was just stated? Your mics are open. That 51 area code 517. I know you just came in. Any comments, any references, 304s, 631s, 216s? Your mics are open.
Hey, man, God bless you. This Elder Showers. I just came in. I was at another appointment, but I wanted to come in and hear the last bit of it. You know, and I thank God we are different. We are a chosen generation, and we shouldn't be trying to line up with the world. And the word today is repent, because there's so much going on and so much is happening. People are passing away left and right, but we are the remnant to declare God's word. We are the remnant to walk holy and righteous before people, whoever they are, that they would see God in us and not us. You know, but I just thank God for the man of God who just expounded on the word. But God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
So
bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mics are open if you have any comments. I'd like to make another statement real quick, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm just not, I'm giving everyone an opportunity to speak, but my sister sent my wife and I a T-shirt, and the comment is, it says, the world needs CTR on it, and the acronym for that, Christ, Prayer, and Repentance. Christ,
amen.
Prayer, and I think that, you know, that speaks, you know, to the heart of really what we are saying right now. We need to get ourselves together. And I heard you say, you know, Bishop, that we need, you know, a different appetite and a different attitude, you know, and if we get back to the things that we used to do, you know, allowing Christ in our lives, you know, and constantly staying on our knees in prayer and repenting for our sins on a daily basis. When we get oneself right, you know, then we can help others. But if we're not right, if our attitude is not right, if our appetite is not correct, is not right, you know, then how can we help anyone else get right? So I'm just...
Right. Amen. And I wanted to, if I could, I wanted to make sure that, you know, that everyone would know, and I'm sure that they do, but just as a disclaimer, I believe that God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But I do believe that, you know, lots of times when we the church gets in an effort to be all things or everything to all people, sometimes we get confused with our identity. And so we have to remain consistent, and that's where the character and that's where wisdom comes into play. So then I heard a preacher say that the fruit tree doesn't produce fruit and then go to the person. The fruit tree bears fruit, and then the person is attracted to the fruit. And so then in essence, God is saying that we don't really have to run and do this and that, but if we just be everything that God has us to be, we're clothed and covered in the anointing on the garment of His anointing, then God will draw what who He needs to us in order to be able to feed them the wealth and the wells of knowledge and information to Christ. But we've got to be willing to not only hear it, but actually partake and be a part of it, and not just sit there, but to actually operate in the levels of the anointings and the wells of knowledge that God gives us. And we have to walk it out. And we have to walk.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Again,
did I hear you say you had 304 numbers on the radio? Pastor, I'm sorry. Was there some 304 numbers that you said that was on there? 304 is in my area. So let's want somebody to comment from 304 if they could.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody can hear me or if I'm doing this right.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My relationship with God is so wonderful right now. And I'm so blessed to be able to come and share a word. And I'm grateful that I have that connection with the Lord and with people who worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm commenting on things that I have, are, you know, relating to things that are happening to me in my past and my present. You ever heard about when the children are born with a veil over their face, that they could see the future and all that other stuff? My sister was born with that, and that's what she heard all her life. I mean, she knows the word front to back. But growing up, she would say, yeah, but there's witches out there and things like that. And I would say, why? But I didn't understand, studying the word myself, I didn't understand why you giving the witch a name. why are you putting it in existence? Because I believe in the word, and the word that came to me during that time, the word is the mouth, a mighty other than a two-edged sword. And I said, that means that you, more you speak it, the more it is. And with the word that is being said out today, I could say I love the Lord. And going through back through my past and my present right now, yeah, I fell, but I came back. And I'm grateful that he was still there for me. And I'm grateful that I could share that and say,
amen.
You believe, you choose, you follow, you listen, you learn every day in Jesus' mighty name. And I'm grateful to say that.
Amen.
So I'm sharing that with you right now. I'm Sister Clara. Pastor Rose's follower. One of her followers. So I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God, and God bless you all.
God bless you.
In comment on that, we thank God that, you know, there are many that have fallen away, and we thank God that you did find your way back, you know, at the time that you was going through your trials. And we often go through trials in life. We often go through trials. And sometimes those trials push us further away from God rather than closer to God. So, you know, we thank God that, you know, that you was pushed closer to God and your relationship has become even deeper.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. I was just a bishop, you know, and I was looking at
yes.
And you know, and this book of Proverbs, it is so powerful. You know, and it's a passage that we use all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your understanding. In all ways, mm-hmm. submit to him, will make your path straight. You know, and whatever we go through, and I can only speak from a personal level, that whatever I go through, whether it's bad or whether it's good, I submit it to the Lord. I don't try to figure it out on my own. I just turn it over to God. And there are some things I just don't understand. I turn it over to God. So, you know, that passage speaks volumes to me, you know, in terms of trusting. You know, not only, you know, oftentimes we want to trust when things are going right, when things are good, you know, in our lives. But what about when things are bad or going, as they say, south? You know, do we still have that same trust in the Lord? And that's why, you know, this Proverbs is just so powerful. It speaks volumes to our spirits. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not when things are just right. I mean, just right, but when they are bad or when they're at their worst. You know, what about when you're down?
Right.
You feel like you're still trusting in the Lord. And that's where God wants us. It doesn't make a difference what our situation or obstacles are. If we trust, believe, and have that wisdom of knowing that God is going to work on our behalf, I believe that that's, you know, that we're in the right place, that we're in the right place there. So I just wanted to comment, Bishop, to that passage.
Pastor, yes, I think back to some 20 years ago when I was with this. Proverbs chapter 3 speaks to me. I remember just being involved in everything that the world had. I was addicted to it. I was in love with it. I did try to do the very best that I could be. And I hear people all the time when they get into the body of Christ and into the house of God, they talk about comment, how difficult and how this. I at that time loved what I was doing. I would not have been doing the things that I did. I didn't do it because I regretted it. I did it because I was in love with the world. I had no wisdom. I had self-sufficiency. I was dependent on myself to survive and to do this and operate. And so the things, my ways I thought were right and this way. And I think that this passage, this particular chapter, God spoke to me some 20 years ago to let me know that you have to remove yourself from just this total self-sufficiency and you have to get a total dependency upon me. And when I realized I had to depend on him, I started realizing that I was broken and torn in this way. And even in the good that we do, we still need that level of dependency with him. And so this speaks volumes to keeping my heart in the right place. And I believe that the enemy is attacking us, not out in the world. He already has them, but the body of Christ. He wants us to war with each other, fight against each other, doubt each other, be confused with the stuff that goes on, make one think that we're better than the other, act as though we don't have any issues. We get spiritual amnesia and act like we haven't fallen down before. We want to talk bad about the person who's struggling with something. We want to criticize the person who probably don't have everything that we have. We want to, we got a little bit better over here, so we want to down somebody else, and we'll do it in a spiritual conversation by saying, let's talk to this person, let's talk about this person. I saw all of that, those spiritual cliches. We run around in the church and we speak in tongues and we do all this, and then behind the scenes at 2 a.m. I'm a whole different person than I am at in the pulpit at 6 p.m. and this type of stuff. I'm standing here and I'm giving communion and I'm doing all of this and doing all that, and deep down in the backside I'm just as jacked up and torn as everybody else is. And I believe God speaks to those levels in us and those wells in us, the areas in us that are fleshly, that are earthly, that are sensual, and says, you can't lean to your own understanding, but you've got to trust me. And in this world right now, we cannot be half-stepping. We cannot be this way. And people don't like that because nobody wants the authentic word of God. Everybody wants to heap upon themselves those with itching ears to tell you that you can do this, you can do that. There is a distinction. There is a difference. The Bible says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. We have to be separate, and we have to be separated. Separated from the things that I used to do and me now, and now come to in conformity to what God wants me to be. I don't look at what somebody else is doing. I'm not concerned about what they're doing. I don't care what they say about me, because my destiny and my direction and my determination is not predicated upon what they say. They'll always talk. All of us had a used to be, could have been, and should have been, but we have somewhere that we're supposed to go called destiny, and that's what God has for us. And we're not preaching religion. We're speaking kingdom, and we're at a time right now where God is seeking those to serve him, because the word says God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And there is a lot of counterfeit ideologies and thinking that's out there that has no wisdom. They have popularity and it's trending and it's TikTok and all this type of stuff. But God wants the real authentic church to stand up, and the revival is coming, and we better be ready, because when it happens, there's going to be 10. Five are going to be wise and five are going to be foolish. And I do not want the door shut on the people that are there. So my role and my responsibility is to give, impact, and impart something that God has given me by letting them see my transparency. Yes, I'm broken. Yes, I'm tattered. Yes, I got this. But God can bless us in spite of everything that we do. I don't have to get up here and have great eloquent speech and give you a dissertation of eschatology and theologian and all of this theological understanding. I just got to give you the plain simplicity of God so loved the world that he gave. And when we start giving ourselves to the Lord, God will pour in us that we can pour out. Otherwise, we're going to be just having a form and fashion of godliness and denying that power. And I don't want that. And that's what God wants us to do. So that's what Proverbs talks to me about, staying strong and being in and presence with him.
Praise his name.
Amen.
Well, Bishop, you don't preach it, sir. You don't preach it.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Man of God. You're ending with a preach, with your experience.
We
do need to be authentic. And you know what's so sad? People, there are certain people, God has a number, and there are people out there that are hungry, hungry. It is right. It's right out there. But we have to be ready, prepared.
Right.
Wherever God needs to send us, a prepared place, we have to be prepared. But Bishop, you done preached it, sir. You done preached me.
Amen. We praise God. Amen. Thank God. Praise God. I thank God for the opportunity just to be in fellowship and be here with you all. And I really feel strong about that. Every day we struggle, we have issues, but we thank God that He wakes us up every morning, and His mercies are new. And so He says, "Forget not Thy grace and Thy mercy." I don't forget it. He's watched over me. So, God bless you all, and we'll keep us in prayer.
God bless you, sir.
Yes,
and your family.
And on that note, we just say
hallelujah.
We thank you for being a part of this hour, and we just do an hour from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we are down. We've added room and a few other tools, so you can listen by internet, you can call in by the phone, or you can be a part of the Zoom where we can attach a name with a face. Amen. We have been doing this for like about 13 years. Is that about 13 years, Dr. Seaman? About 13 years. And it's amazing the people that listen. When people talk, you don't have to say your name. They automatically know who you are. They know who you are, just by the tone of your voice. And that is a blessing. That is in the body of Christ. But we have now added, Zoom, so you can add a name with a face. So if you ever would like to be on, the call-in number for this Zoom is 505-36808, and the passcode is Psalms 23, capital P, Psalm, not an A, Psalm 23. And that is the passcode, except for what we are catching ourselves with on the 4th with Archbishop Palmer and his church, and we have speakers from there on the 4th who are speaking, and they are using their zone, which is another code. But we normally send a text out. And, there's a time that we are not in the business of separating ourselves. We are the body of Christ. When we come together to unify, lift up the name of Jesus, I believe that we will begin to start to see all the things that we have been praying for. Amen. And I believe you in terms of being divided. The only time we can unify, is if we are divided. And I believe that we are divided this time, but God is doing a new thing. God is operating in a new way. He's doing a new thing, and I truly believe that we're going to start seeing some things happen. The churches are closed, doors are open up, but we have just added more opportunities to be able to reach people in various places that we have never been able to reach before. So keep us in prayer as we move forward, as you move forward, those of you who are on, with your ministries, as you move forward, more than anything, let us come together. Amen. Let us come together from time to time. And let that be a blessing to the body of Christ. We just heard dividing and the division is because we are not coming together. We have one group here, one group over there, one group over there, and people are only they're looking at that. So, I thank you so much for coming on and being a part of this hour. May God bless you. Bishop, would you please close us out in prayer? Thank you so much. You can go into the Blog Talk Radio and type in, "Can Begin Again," and listen to this message. Amen. And be faithful. May God bless
you. Amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We ask that you continue to be with us, strengthen us, and guide us and protect us. Thank you for your great grace and mercy, for what you are already doing. We thank you for the manifestation that's taking place for everybody here online, that you bless their homes, their families, increase and enlarge their territories. And as we depart from this place, but never from your presence, keep us and guide us and direct us. Father, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Yes. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you as well.
Amen.
can begin it.